Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
So good to be with you tonight. Warm welcome to everybody joining us online as well from wherever you're watching around the world, around the nation, all our friends in Secunda, Kroonstad, Cape Town, Witbank, Durban. It's growing. God is doing something incredible, and a special word of welcome to all of you. Thanks for being with us tonight. It's so cool to see you in church tonight. Are you ready to receive something from God tonight? It's about 19 of you. Anybody excited about the word of the Lord tonight? That's awesome. I thought I was at the wrong church for a moment. I'm definitely at Empower Church tonight. I want to continue with where we left off this morning. Whoever you joined us for our morning service or watched it online, come on, what an awesome service. We started the series that we're going to be journeying around for the next couple of weeks, just around relationships, marriage, families. We've seen over the last couple of months, especially during this COVID pandemic, that there's been a tremendous onslaught on families, tremendous onslaught on marriages, tremendous onslaught on relationships. I'm not sure if there's anybody, I know you don't want to admit these things while fellow believers are in the room, but do you know of anybody that's gone through some relational strain in the last couple of months? I think just being in the season that we find ourselves in, it's been incredibly difficult to navigate through some things in life. Especially if you've been locked up in a house and you're locked up with a person that you're still finding that groove, that rhythm, that calibration of hearts still taking place. And all of a sudden you find yourself locked up in this house with a family member or a spouse that you struggle to live with from day to day. All of a sudden these challenges pop up. All of a sudden and people are being challenged. We've done more marriage counseling, and I'm sure Pastor Stefan will agree with me, in the last couple of months than what we've probably done in the history that I've been at church. Talking about serious stuff that people are battling, going through. People in relationships, dating, engaged, all forms of relationships, saying, Erik, I'm finding myself in an incredibly difficult spot. I think it's just been as difficult for people that's single in this time. No matter where you find yourself in your relationship, I think this has been a time where many things have been tested in our lives. But through all of the madness and all of the counselings and all of the support that we've done, I've come to realize one thing, that God did not make it difficult for us to live according to His design. Can I say that again? Whether you're dating, whether you're engaged, whether you're single, whether you're married, God has not made it difficult for us to live according to His design. We have made it difficult. We have complicated things. We have added things to the mixture that's made it difficult for us to have relationship with people. And what I want to do tonight in the next 2 to 3 hours is just to bring us back. See if some people are climbing off online right now. It's like, no, this oak is going to take too long. Please stay online. That was a joke. What I want to do tonight, what I believe the Lord wants to do, is to bring us back to a better understanding of what His design looks like. It's impossible for me or for any preacher to, in half an hour, 45 minutes, try and unpack the blueprint of marriage and dating and being engaged. It's absolutely impossible. But we're going to do our best in the next couple of weeks to unpack the heart of God for you in such a way that you will walk out of this place feeling, you know what, I can do this. I want to speak specifically to people tonight that find themselves at that breaking point where you feel like, in my marriage, if something doesn't change, I don't know if this thing is going to last. You're in that place in your relationship where you don't know, should I marry this guy? Should I leave this guy? What should I do with this guy? If you find yourself in one of those tight spots, I really believe that this is for you tonight. And my faith tonight is that you will walk away with one thing, maybe two, but this golden nugget of God's word, this truth that He will illuminate to you tonight, that will help you to walk out of this place and say, I know what the next step in my life looks like. I know what the design for God and my life, my relationship looks like. And that you would put to practice. Can I say that again? Won't you quickly look at your neighbor? Any neighbor, just say neighbor. Some of you haven't looked at a neighbor. It's awkward for him now. Just say neighbor. Put into practice. That's the thing. We look at the parable that Jesus speaks about the seed that's being sown. Some of it fell on rocky soil, some on the road, some in fruitful soil, some amongst the weeds and the thorns. And the reality is, if we don't take the word that we receive and we plant it, we put action to it, the enemy comes and he snatches it away. Bill Johnson said it so beautifully. He said, the next time you hear that message, you'll sit in church and say, amen, amen, I agree with that. That's true. Amen, pastor. You will agree with it in your head, but it's not in your heart anymore. It's been snatched away. You'll become a hypocrite in agreeing with God's word, but not actioning to it. And I want to trust in this night that you will walk out of this place and put action to wherever you find yourself, whether your marriage, your relationship with your girlfriend, or whether you're engaged. We've got all three of them here tonight. Or single, doesn't matter. There we go. But that you would walk out of this place empowered. I hope that I would offend some people tonight. I've just made peace with that. That some things in the word offends us. I can sugarcoat it. I can preach it. It doesn't matter what kind of a way. It's just going to offend you. And I feel like we have stopped preaching those things. That's why so many people find themselves in chaos. So may I in tonight touch on some things that can in some way offend you, to say, you know what? I don't like that guy. But I want to respond to the truth that he preached tonight. So I'm not here to be liked tonight. I'm here to give you some of God's word and then journey together from there. So won't you open your Bibles if you've got one. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. If you haven't got a Bible, take out your phone. Pretend as if you've got an app on there. If you've got an app, that's beautiful. If you haven't got any of the two, just sit next to somebody that's got a Bible and look in theirs. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Verse 9 to 12 says the following. Two people are better off than one. It's a good place to start right there. Two people are better off than one. Please note, it's not speaking about marriage now. For they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Such a beautiful picture of the church. That's why Jesus wants none of us to journey alone. Because it doesn't matter where you find yourself in your life. If you're in this church, there's somebody journeying with you. If you fall, there'll be somebody there to help you up. Likewise, two people lying close together. That sounds a bit more like a marriage sort of a deal right now. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. Can all the married people just say amen at this winter evening? Can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? Thank you, Jesus, for my wife. I so love her with all my heart. Thank you, Jesus. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Listen to this. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Such an awesome symbolism that the writer of Ecclesiastes uses here. And he says a three braided cord, a three woven cord, cannot be easily broken. Speaks about a relationship where God is interwoven into that relationship. I think that's one of the most beautiful pictures of covenant that God gives us in Scripture. It's this three braided cord. I love the symbolism, the pictures that the Bible uses. There's many of them. From the very beginning right up until the end, God always uses these symbolisms, these pictures. And He uses them to describe to us with things visible, what things look like in the invisible. Some of you look confused. It's like when He speaks about Jesus being the lamb. He uses the picture of a lamb. Everybody of us, well, especially in South Africa, if you like braaivleis, you will know what a lamb looks like. So okay, that was a bad analogy. So He speaks about the lamb and gives us this symbolic picture of Christ. Speaks of a rainbow as the symbolic picture of God's covenant with Noah. Makes sense? Speaks of a dove as the symbolic picture of the Holy Spirit. Speaks of oil as a symbolic picture of the anointing. You catch what I'm saying? I love scriptures or pictures in scripture. One of the pictures that I think God has just used extremely well in scripture is the picture of marriage, of a groom and a bride, a husband and a wife. Not only did he say to Adam and Eve, the two of you will come together and be one, right throughout scripture, he uses the analogy, the symbolism of marriage, even in relation to, or even when he speaks about his relationship with himself towards us. If we look at Old Testament scripture, God speaks about Israel being his wife. We are the church, which is the bride of Christ. You catch what I'm saying? And as I sat with the Lord in this week and just looked at marriages and relationships, I feel like God has used that symbolism extremely well to show us not only what marriage looks like, but He's using that symbolism to show us what a relationship with Him should look like. I believe the one empowers the other. It's like God calls Himself a father. How difficult would it be for us as people to understand that God is a father if you haven't had something like an earthly father? Catch what I'm saying? So we have this opportunity, this privilege to step into something called marriage. And in my marriage, I learn something about my relationship with God. Believe you me, my wife has taught me a lot of things about God that I wouldn't have learned on my own. Marriage teaches you something. But my relationship with God has also taught me a lot about marriage with my wife. Am I still speaking to the right church here? Anybody online that's like, Posse, I'm with you. I feel like the picture and our understanding of that picture empowers us to have both of those relationships lived in power and with greater passion. Let me put it simple. If I am doing exceptionally awesome in my walk with God, and if I'm saying I'm doing awesome, it's not like I'm performing. No, if I'm at a good spot with God, as one of my friends always say, if you're in that sweet spot with Jesus, honestly, I just have a much better marriage than what I have when I'm not at a good space with God. Any married couples that can agree with that? It's like 17 real people in the house tonight. But the same is the opposite is also true. If I'm in a good space in my marriage, it also positions me for greater intimacy with God. I know some people that does not find themselves in a good space in their marriage, and it affects their walk with God. I've seen them at the gate sometimes. I see them fighting as they come down from the robot. And then when they stop at the gate, they're like, hey, pastor, how you doing? Great, man. And I can see the wife, she's not impressed. She's just like, hi, pastor. I mean, she's making it clear. It's not a good vibe in this car right here. The one affects the other. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I believe that God wants us to understand that if I, in my marriage, can put Him as my symbolic picture, my aim, my focus towards what I journey to. If that becomes the focus, if that becomes the goal, if what I see in scripture of Jesus and His bride, God and His wife, if that becomes my goal, then I start to live my marriage with much greater purpose and passion. I said to you earlier, many people, I believe, find themselves in a tight spot in their marriage in covenant because they have set the terms to the covenant. I don't want to go too deep into covenant, but in every covenent we find in scripture, the Noahic covenant, Adamic covenant, Palestinian covenant, Davidic covenant, every one of those covenants, there's always been terms to the covenant. It's incredible if you look how a covenant was made. Probably the best picture is found in Genesis, I think it's Genesis chapter number 15, where God cuts a covenant with Abram. It's a bit of a gory story, so I'm not going to get into the detail because there's some animals that's chopped in half right there. If you're ever looking for a good movie, just read the Bible. And then Abram and God enters into covenant. And our covenant was made back in the day is people, an animal would be cut in half, and it would be the two pieces would be put like a distance away from one another. And the two people entering into covenant would walk in a, like a figure eight amongst these two pieces. It's getting gory, I know. And then as they walk through these pieces of flesh, they would give terms to the covenant. They would make promises to one another in this covenant. They would set boundaries to this covenant. Catch what I'm saying? And God cuts covenant with us. The beautiful thing when He cut covenant with Abram is He put Abram to sleep. He's not looking to me and you to set the terms, to set the promises, to set the... No, He said, I will fulfill this covenant. I am making this covenant with you. It's always been His covenant with us. He initiates the covenant, not us. But so many of us in our marriages, we have set the terms of the covenant. And many people look at covenant as an exchange of promises. It's like when two people marry, they promise one another some stuff. I mean, I've done a lot of weddings in my life, so I would know that one of the most incredible times during a wedding ceremony is when people exchange vows. I did a wedding yesterday, most awesome vows. I mean, it was just, it's beautiful. I've heard some vows that I thought to myself, thank God we're not recording this sermon today. But a lot of people feel like covenant is an exchanging of promises. It's not, and it's an exchange of people. It's an exchange of persons. And I think that's where we've missed it. And I'm going to try and pull the Subaru from single, dating, engaged marriage. But when we understand that covenant means I give myself to Kornay and Kornay gives herself to me, I don't just extend a promise. It's not just a legal document that I sign. It's not just this white wedding that I have and I invite all my guests. No, it's me giving myself away to another person. That's what we see in Christ, is Jesus gave Himself for us. And how do we respond to covenant? It's when I give myself to Him. That's why you can never accept the fullness of Christ if you're not willing to give yourself away. And marriage works exactly the same. Every person that we have sat with over the years, especially the last couple of months, that finds himself in a challenging space, I can pull all of it back to that one principle. It's you've not given yourself away. It's still about you. It's still about what you want. It's still about your desires. It's still about your dreams. It's still about what other person is not doing right or how he or she is offending you. But that's not the picture of covenant that we find in Scripture. It's when we give ourselves away. That's God's design. A beautiful picture of covenant as well is when David and Jonathan made covenant with one another. Though it was a friendship covenant, there was an exchange that took place. I think it's 2 Samuel or 1 Samuel 18. I can't remember exactly where. I think it's 1 Samuel 18. 2 Samuel 18. Somewhere there. Something with 18. Just believe me. It's something with Samuel 18. 1 or 2. And in that passage of Scripture, we see the two of them making a covenant with one another. And in that covenant, there was an exchange taking place. They exchanged weapons. They exchanged robes. They exchanged belts. Don't have the time to get into the symbolism in that. But it means I give everything that I am to a person. I give my life. I give my body. I give my money. I give my... Some of you are like, whoa, boss is shaking. Just, I'm happy with giving my body away, but not my money. Tough crowd tonight. Okay. Anybody online still there? It means that you give yourself away. And whenever we have encountered people that have realized the terms of God's covenant and His design for covenant, we have seen people flourish in their marriages. I believe, and not just because it's my conviction out of my experience, I believe because that's what I see in Scripture, that being in a relationship with somebody, if that's your choice, and please let me not try and, I don't want to say that the bar is everybody get married. Because it's clear from Scripture that not everybody's supposed to get married. And if you're single and that's your message tonight, then take it. Not everybody's supposed to get married. Bible actually says that being single is a gift. Just as marriage is a gift, being single is a gift. I'll read you some scriptures in a moment that will open your eyes to why singleness is awesome. So many people are just striving to get married. Just want to find my husband. Just want to find my wife. And that's what they live for. Just this husband, this wife, this husband, this wife. When they pray, what do we pray for? My husband. Okay, we know that. We've been praying for that for the last 2 years. What do we pray for? My husband. Not found him yet. Okay. And we just, it's like that's what they live for. That's what they focus on. That's what everything is about. My husband, my wife. But I believe there's a different design. I believe that God has given us a design that we can live according to. And I want to explain that tonight. I trust my preaching has not been that bad tonight. In the last couple of years of my life, I've read a lot of books about marriage. I've had the awesome privilege to do some marriage camps and seminars and conferences with my wife, and speak on it in different forums, and it's been awesome. Just discovering God's heart for marriages. I think probably the picture that stuck with me most is what I want to share with you tonight. And I want to look at all relationship statuses here. Do you know what their relationship status is on Facebook? It's where you get to choose single, dating, engaged, married. And then there's one that says it's complicated. It's still there, eh? It's still there, eh? I think so. No, I'm serious. I really think there's something there that says it's complicated. And honestly, when I look at some marriages, I'm like, dude, you should not tick the married box. Just tick it's complicated. Because you are seriously complicating marriage here. And I always explain it to people saying that God has made everything in this universe to work in a specific way. He has designed everything. There's rules of this universe that works together every single day. Whether you see them, understand them, it doesn't matter. They are at work. And I always use the example of gravity. If I let this bottle go, you can sit there and say, gravity, I don't believe in it. Don't understand the theory of it. Doesn't matter. If I leave this bottle, it's going to drop. And some of you are like, just drop that bottle. I'd love to see that. I'm not going to do it. But that's the rules of gravity. It's the rules of nature designed by God. That's how it works. Marriage is the same. I trust that this helps somebody tonight. Marriage is exactly the same. It's been designed by God, not man. Nowadays, we have started to negotiate the terms of marriage. You say, no, you can be married in this way, married in that way. You can be married to that kind of a person. You can be married to more than one person. I just always say to those guys, but it's complicated enough with just one wife. Why do you want to have two? It's God's design. And if you understand from Scripture God's design and you live your marriage according to it, it's going to work. It's like gravity. The bottle will fall. You can be ugly. You can be poor. You can be... doesn't matter. If you do it according to His design, it'll work. You will find joy in marriage. If you don't do it according to God's design, the opposite is also true. You can be pretty, rich, successful, the man of hour in the power. It doesn't matter who you are. If you don't apply God's design, your marriage is going to fail. It'll be chaos. And nowadays, it doesn't take 15, 20 years for people to end up on the couch. I've got this couch in my office. It happens in months sometimes. We've seen people get married and 2 months later, they're on the couch saying, Here, help us. Ons gaan mekaar doodmaak. Just heading towards this nightmare of a collision. And that's not God's design. That's not God's design. God's design is that people will be fulfilled in relationship. Whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you are dating, whether you're engaged, that you would be fulfilled. So I want to look at, just quickly, singleness, dating, being engaged and married. And just like drop one nugget in each of those categories. I could probably drop 15 nuggets. But we don't have time for that tonight. I just want to leave one thought in every one of those areas that I want to believe that wherever you are in your category of whatever you tick on Facebook currently, that you will receive something that you can walk away with tonight. I want to start with speaking to single people. I don't know if I should say all the single people raise their hands. Maybe I should say that because they're like, Pastor, just give us that opportunity to show that we are available. So all the single people, just, is there any single people in the house tonight that wants to just, okay, or just keep your hands up. Just keep your hands up. I believe if you're looking for a wife or a husband, great place to find one. All the single guys, just check the single girls out. All the single girls, these are great guys, okay? Some of you are like, Pastor, I'm not sure what you're doing now is right. Listen, I'm serious. Rather find yourself somebody here in the house of the Lord than somewhere out there. So, invite that single one that you're like, yo, that was, I like what I see there. Invite them for coffee afterwards. Is that okay? And if you're single and you're online, I don't know how to help you right now. I believe singleness is one of the best times of your life. I don't regret one moment that I've spent with Cornelia. We've been together for more than 20 years. I don't regret one moment. But I look back on the moments that I was single and I thought to myself, I should have enjoyed them more. Because there's so much that you have to work with as a single person that I don't as a married man. Listen to what Paul says. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse 32. Verse 35. I just want to quickly take off my jacket before I read this. It's hot in that jacket, and I don't want anybody to think it's my wife that's making me sweat here on stage, though she does. Make me feel like that most days of my life. And I mean that in a good way. So Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7 verse 32 to 35. Listen to what Paul says. He says, I would like you to be free from concern. He's speaking to single people now. All the single people. I would like you to be free from concern. That's a great way to start a passage of scripture. He says, an unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world and how he can please his wife. I see some people nodding. It's like, yeah, that's what it's about. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or a virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. That's the piece of scripture right there. In undivided devotion to the Lord. I believe your season of singleness sounds lacquer. Your season of singleness should be a time where you just undividedly devote yourself to God. The freedom to focus. The freedom to focus on God. There's things that you have at your possession as a single person that any other married man or woman does not have. And that is that your time is absolutely yours. And anybody that's never mind married, a parent here will know that there's sometimes you feel like, Yera, please can I just have a moment alone? There's sometimes where I sit in the mornings and I have an incredible time with God and then I hear these little footsteps come down the passage. And I know in that moment it's impossible for me to say to my three-year-old, luister, wacht net gauw, just I'll come now. I'm just spending time with God. He's coming in. He wants to talk. He wants to cuddle. He wants to kiss. He wants to play. My devotion for that morning, it's on pause till when I get somewhere else later that day. But being a single person, you have got the focus or the freedom to focus completely on God. And I want to encourage every single person that's here, use that time of your life as best as what you can. Don't focus so on getting the right guy or the right girl that you miss that incredibly beautiful season of your life. You will never have it back. That's a moment where you can just devote yourself to God. And I believe that marriage is about giving, not receiving. And if you can't find yourself at a place where you can fully receive from God, what are you going to give to that person when you find him or her? So many people are just so pursuing a man or a woman that they miss what God wants to do in their lives in that pursuit. The picture that the Lord gave me in this week is this picture of somebody pursuing God. Whether you're walking, running, it doesn't matter. There's God and I'm pursuing God. But many people in their pursuit become distracted because I'm looking for a husband, I'm looking for a wife, and now it's this, and now it's my career, and now it's my studies, and amongst all of that, I'm not saying don't study and don't have a career and don't look for a husband or a wife. I'm saying keep your eyes on Jesus. Pursue Him. Focus on the one that is your greatest prize. He's the ultimate goal. He's the one that gives life meaning. He is everything you need and more. And I'm telling you now, if you will find Christ, you will see that many of the things you're looking for in a person cannot be found in a person. It's only found in God. And maybe when you find God in that way, you'll find that person easier. Which takes me to my next point, which is dating. It's been very long since I've dated. So I'm not going to try and look like the expert here. But what I've learned in my life and what I've read and studied and heard from other people is that dating in itself is an incredibly exciting season. And don't rush the beauty of that season. And you know when we rush it, it's when I make the person that I now find, the one that says, yes, you know, we can go for coffee, or yes, you know, let's go watch that movie. Now, all of a sudden, I lose my focus and I just move my focus from God into that person. And that's where dating in itself becomes an obstacle. You start to lose the joy, the beauty of dating. There's many teachings out there, great teachings about dating, what to look for in a person. But can I also just say this? Sometimes we so complicate that as well that we actually make it unfair towards the person that you're looking for. It's like, I want the guy must be this tall and well built like this, and this kind of a hair, and this kind of a study, and this kind of a commitment, and this discipline level, and drive this car. Most of you will never find that guy. I'm serious. And you would have bypassed many other incredible guys or girls on pursuit of some figment of your imagination. And please, I'm not saying don't set high standards. You know, go for the first oak that winks at you. Please, that's not what I'm saying. Here's the key. And this is something, I can't remember. I think it's Ben Stewart that said this. Incredible teaching on dating. He says the best way to know who you should be dating is when you're pursuing God. That picture of you running after this prize. And in your pursuit, you'll start to notice that somebody is running with you. They're on their own journey, also pursuing God. But all of a sudden, this person is like next to you. And then next Sunday, I heard that on the next Sunday, when you look, she's next to you again. And doesn't necessarily mean sitting next to you, like Kayla and Clinton sitting next to one another right now. It just means that in your pursuit of God, there's people pursuing God with you. And all of a sudden, it's like you find, that's, I also think that's a great place to clap. It's like you find, but hey, it's not just about her looks or her charisma, her charm. It's the fact that she actually pursues Jesus in a beautiful way that draws me to her or to him. I think it's Ben Stewart that said, most people look for looks and charm. And there's a scripture, I think it's in Proverbs 31 verse, I actually got it here. Here we go. Proverbs 31 verse 30. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. If I was a lady, I would have been like, amen. So here's the thing. Most of us, when we look for a partner, whether a boy or a girl, you look for beauty and charm. Something that's presentable to the eye and somebody that's got incredible personality and a charm. But those are the things that the writer of Proverbs says will fade. Beauty will fade. Believe you me. When you get to 80, you're not going to be as pretty as what you are now. Guarantee you, some people when they get to 40, they look like 80. So don't work on charm either, because when you go through the challenges of life, sometimes the first thing that disappears is charm. The girl that makes, you know, sweet little winks and eyes at you in the movies. The day that you get married and financial challenges come, or you lose your job, or please, and I'm not prophesying any bad luck over anybody. I'm just saying that life happens. In that moment, sometimes the charm also goes out the door. I'm serious. So don't look for beauty and charm. Look for somebody that's pursuing God with you. And in that pursuit, of course, if it's somebody that looks beautiful and somebody that you find chemistry with, beautiful. Please, you should like the person you marry. They should be beautiful. They should be somebody that you want to wake up to next to for the rest of your life. Does that make sense? But don't just look for chemistry. Look for character in somebody. Look for Jesus. I'm telling you now what I love most about my wife, though to me she's the most beautiful person in the world, is the way that she pursues God. That is what I value most of my wife, is that she's somebody that runs after God. And honestly, that's incredibly beautiful to see. In those mornings when I wake up late and I go to make myself coffee and she's sitting there on that couch and she's got her earphones in and she's pursuing God, I see a loving Jesus. That to me is incredibly beautiful. Find somebody that pursues God with you. Find somebody that loves Jesus as much as what you do. And you can never go wrong. I want to jump to being engaged. Engaged. Okay, can we just give them a hand for being engaged? I mean, they are just, I mean... Are you going to invite all of us to your wedding, Armand? Just want to find out. Okay. He'll give the date through a bit later and then he can just reserve the date. All of you are invited to his wedding. It's like Jesus, just everybody's welcome. Okay. So being engaged, honestly, there's been many materials that I've looked at over the last couple of years. In this week, as I sat before the Lord, the thing that really, that I felt to share with you tonight is out of my own experience of being engaged. It's one thing when you date somebody and you know, like, hey, this is getting serious, and you get this unctioning from the God, from the Lord, from the God, the God, unctioning from the Lord, like, this is the one, and you ask this person to marry you. But then there starts a process that many people don't understand, and I don't want to get into the biblical history of how a Jewish wedding looked like and that process of engagement, though there's many symbolism in there as well. But to me, it's a process of the two now actually becoming one. And I'm not talking about the physical aspect of it now. I'm talking about now two people begin to realize what it is to give themselves away. All of a sudden, you start having conversations that you never used to have when you were dating. All of a sudden, you're talking about stuff that's, I mean, this is the real deal right now. All of a sudden, you're discovering, but whoa, okay, I didn't know that about you. Or now we're making decisions on how we're going to do this or how we're going to do that. Will we have dogs or cats? Dogs, please. Will we have 3 kids, 4 kids? Will we have 12? I don't know. I know somebody that wants like 10 or 12. I'm just like, Jesus, thank you that Cornay was happy with 3. I'm happy with 3 as well. So is my bank account. I'm happy, Jesus. Thank you for that. I'm not sure if I'm speaking to the right people here online as well. Okay. But in that moment, many people start fighting for the first time, disagreeing on stuff. And you know what? That is how it's supposed to be. Please, I'm not saying fight. I'm saying in those moments, in that time of engagement, that's where you should be sorting out some of the stuff that you don't want to sort out in your marriage. if you've come from a background where you've had various partners and you've been dating different people, that's the time where you should say, God, cleanse me, clean me from everything that I've opened myself up to over the last couple of years. I remember when we got engaged, that was a process of cleaning in my life. Due to what I call our BC days, our before Christ days, due to what we have gone through in our BC days, we needed to go through a process of cleansing. Where our minds had to be renewed on what marriage looks like, what intimacy looks like, what sex looks like, what is God's design for those things. Because you don't want to go into marriage with a negative design, a wrong design, and then build your marriage on some flaky foundation. That's where you should be asking those difficult questions. Pastor Geba spoke about some of those questions this morning. That's where you ask the real stuff. But how do you feel about that? What's your belief in God about this? How do you see that? And that's where the red flag should be flagging you, saying there's some stuff that needs to be sorted out first. Especially if you disagree on basic, fundamental issues in Scripture. Not dogs or cats. Like, do I believe the same thing that you believe about God? And raising my kids according to Scripture, yes or no? And can I just say this? I want to encourage every person that's either engaged, which is the two of them, or whoever will be engaged soon. Please do not step into a relationship with somebody that don't believe the same things that you believe and think you will change them along the way. You will not change them. We have seen many a people, especially people that's desperate for a relationship. We've seen some ladies, they lean towards 40 and now they become desperate. It's like, I'll marry any man, just give me a man. And then they find somebody that likes them, but he doesn't. That's why the Scripture says two people can't walk together if they don't have the same vision. We can't walk in the same direction if we're not seeing the same things. And then people say, no, we'll fix it along the way. And they just open a can of worms for themselves. And so many times the devil has a field day in their marriage. And then we have to counsel people for hours. No. Allow that process of engagement to be a process of cleansing and positioning. The picture that I had this afternoon, I don't know if you know, in Afrikaans we call it driebeen reesies, three-legged race. Anybody ever did that? Just raise a hand. Just like everybody in this circle here. I mean, did you go to school together or grow up together? What happened? Okay. Three-legged race is when, you know, I thought maybe I must illustrate it. And I thought, no, I'm not going to look like a monkey tonight. But it's when you tie your one leg to somebody else's leg. So you've actually got three legs to work with. And if you've ever seen a three-legged race, it is hilarious. There will at least be one couple that falls. Like, serious, eat grass. It will be absolutely hilarious. And then you've always got those one or two couples that figures it out. Because there's actually a rhythm to that. And then they just go like, and they run like Bruce Fordyce down that track, just three legs, there they go. But that's how I believe engagement looks like. It's when you start to tie yourself to somebody and you start to find your own rhythm. And if you're engaged here, watching online or planning to get engaged, give yourself grace in that time. Nobody starts off a three-legged race just running like a pro. You drag the one and you step on the other one's toe, and then eventually you find this rhythm. And you look like a monkey doing it, by the way. It's not a pretty sight. Go watch some videos on YouTube if you want. It's not pretty at all. But that's how you find rhythm. And you start to find not just the rhythm of God's grace, but the rhythm of one another's grace. Beautiful. And now to marriage. I'm coming in for a landing. Over the last couple of years in all our marriage camps, we have spoken about so much different elements of marriage. Key fundamentals in a marriage. What do you put in your covenant garden? What are the things that's important? Communication, intimacy, sex, trust, respect. And we have spoken about the roles of the husband, the role of the wife. And all of those things are incredibly awesome. And we're going to dive into some real stuff in our marriage camp in August as well. But probably the one thing I think it's Pastor Vlad that said it. I watched the teaching a couple of months ago. And when he said it, it was like, that is it. That is it. It's something that we have spoken about in a different context. But when he said it, it's like, that's the word. Marriage is for mission. Marriage is for ministry. I want to illustrate something. Can I have you? I can't illustrate this with Pastor Stefan. It's not going to work well. I'm sorry. Can I just, please, my love, I just want to illustrate something. I think she looks beautiful. She's not dressed for the occasion. She's going to tell me afterwards, why did you do that? Okay. So I want you to stand there. Okay. This is awesome. I'm just like, so most people, when they pursue marriage, they pursue it like this. So they pursue one another. And then that, watch it. And then that time of dating starts and the engagement. And now we've got to pause now because you get what I'm saying. Then marriage happens. But most people, yeah, we can't move closer than this. Most people, then when they married, the question is, okay, what now? And you're making this difficult. I'm going to get a spiritual principle across here. I love you. So most people, then the focus becomes on making my partner happy. And I've heard many people in the books that they've written and camps that they do and conferences about marriage, it's about how can we make one another happy. That's not God's goal. That's never been the design. It's okay, find somebody and then make one another happy. Because the last time I checked, just stand there, I was running my race. She came in next to me. I thought, geez, I like that. Yes, please, please, next to me, yes. And then we thought, well, let's start run together. And then we started. We got engaged, we got married. And this is the picture of marriage. Not this, where the person becomes my focus, but when the two of us have a mission in marriage together. I'm about to go hang off for a moment. I would have heard that. You let me hang there. Love you so much. That's the picture of marriage I believe that God wants to give people tonight. And honestly, if you sit here tonight watching online and you think to yourself, does my marriage actually focus on ministry? And I'm not talking about ministry, meaning be on a pulpit, have a mic, activity in church. I'm talking about, does your life pursue the mission of God? That's why so many people become distracted. They fall into all kinds of nonsense. They fall into adultery. They fall into this sin. Because they're not focused on what... Listen, the moment you got saved, the mission has always been find purpose in God. That mission does not change the day you get married. The only thing that changes is now you do purpose together. What will your life be lived towards as a couple? When the two of you get married, when the two of you get married, no pressure on anybody, of course. When in your marriages, that those of you that's already married, what are you living towards? What's the mission? Is your life about kingdom together? Even though you work at the dentist and he works at whatever, doesn't matter. Is your life lived in the same direction? Are you both still pursuing God? Is your life still dedicated towards giving myself away? Meaning, have the two of you made up your minds to say, God, our lives is about you. The way we live with one another, it's going to be about you. The way we're going to be intimate with one another, it will glorify you. The way we're going to raise our kids and they're going to be journeying with us as we go, it's about you. The way that we give ourselves to people, it will be about you. Maybe there's some of you that need to make some key decisions. Ask yourself practical questions. The way that you spend your money as a married couple, is it about Jesus?
Maybe some of you are spending money every month on stuff that's unimportant. Maybe you could say as a couple, what if we start to sponsor children to finish their education? What if we help build an orphanage? I'm just using examples. What if we start buying our neighbor that's really struggling groceries every month? And when he gets on his feet, then we take that money and we buy somebody else groceries. Maybe you've had a child that just finished school and you think to yourself, "Ooh, now that I'm saving these school fees, I can buy myself some new shoes every month." Maybe you should be paying somebody else's child's school fees. And I'm not just making this about what do you decide with your money. How do you live your lives? Maybe some of you should say, you know what? What if we go on an outreach once a year? As a couple, we go to whatever. It could be just down the road. It could be India. It could be whatever, but we will go. Yeah, that's fine. India is fine. We go on this outreach together. We go feed some children together. Think about how many things in our lives have become, and though we are still our own individual beings, I have given myself to Cornay. She has given herself to me. We belong to one another. And in the middle of us, we have interwoven God in this covenant. That's why there's a three-strand cord in our relationship. So everything about me should be about God. How will my marriage glorify you? Listen to this. I've preached 100 times that the people should look at the church and say, "I can see Jesus." But if you break the church down in its nucleus, at the very core of the church is not just this big family of people, but individual families. And at the core of that family is a mom and a dad. If people look at your marriage, can they see the beauty of Jesus? The way that you live your lives towards others, the way that you give yourself away. Come on, shouldn't that be your goal when you get married? It's like, "Hey, baby, when we get married, how are we going to live our lives in a way that will just glorify God and advance His kingdom?" All of a sudden, there's purpose. Can I tell you, if you live your life and have your marriage in that kind of purpose, then all the little nitty-gritties will become unimportant. Unimportant. So many of the things that you would fight about from day to day, you won't fight about anymore because it's not important anymore. It's about where our lives are going. What are we doing for the King? What legacy are we leaving behind? Where can we make a difference? I'm privileged to have what I do interwoven with what Cornay does. We have the same day job. Though it's not a job, it's a call. But there's a call on your life as well. And ask yourself the question, though you're not called to work at the church, you might be called to work at spa, it doesn't matter. What is your call as a couple? Where does God want you to make a difference? Where should you influence our community, this city and our nation? Can you imagine if every marriage has that kind of a focus, lives with that kind of purpose? How incredibly powerful our society will be. How inspired your children will be. When they look at mom and dad, and it's not just dad sitting on the couch every night, flicking through Netflix and whatever. But there's actually a dad that's living in purpose. Can you imagine if you say to your kids, "Hey guys, you know what? You're all old enough now. You know what we're going to do for this school holiday? No, we can't wait. Tell us, Dad. We're going to go on an outreach together." And maybe your children first will be like, "I want to go to the Kruger National Park, Dad." It's like, we'll go on an outreach at the Kruger National Park. Make your way to an orphanage somewhere. Just spend the day. Give your money away. Feed some children. Hug some people. Show your kids what it's like to love on people. What ministry looks like. Not just in a church context. We think we bring our children to church and Pastor Herbert and Pastor Given, they, you know, educating our children on a Sunday morning and we're doing our job for the kingdom in our kids. No, that's not enough. They've got to see Christ in you. I don't want my girls to come home and say, "Oh, Dad, Uncle Given is so amazing," though I think he is amazing. Love you, but people, including my own children, to see Jesus in me. I want them to look at our marriage and say, my mom and my dad, they live with purpose. I believe that's God's design. You know why? Because it's all connected to covenant. If our lives are drawing others into covenant as well. So I want to close with this question tonight. Where do you find yourself in your journey? Single, dating, engaged, or married? Doesn't matter. Where's your eyes? Where's your eyes? Are they looking into the eyes of the one that holds everything in his hands? Are you passionately pursuing Jesus being single? Are you passionately pursuing Jesus with your girlfriend? Are you passionately pursuing Jesus with your fiance? Are you passionately pursuing Jesus with your spouse? That's the goal. That's what it's about. That's marriage. That's relationship. Because it doesn't matter in what season you find yourself, he's always the prize. He's the goal. And I want to pray for people tonight that find themselves distracted. And I don't want you to stand or raise a hand. I feel it's a moment between you and God. But maybe you as a couple tonight, if you have to be brutally honest with yourself, will say, we are distracted. We've become so busy fighting one another or trying to love one another better that we have forgotten that it's about loving Jesus first. And if that's you tonight, I want to give you a moment to say to God, God, I've become distracted. But in this night, I want to fix my eyes on Jesus. I want to remind myself that he's the prize. He's the one that I'm running after. It's not about a girlfriend. It's not about my fiance. It's not about my wife or my husband. It's about God in all of that. I really want to trust that there will be the sense of purpose being released in every person's life tonight. That you would look at your situation and say, I know what it's all about. I know what the prize is. I want to ask everybody, if you would just bow your heads for a moment. I want people just to have a moment with God. I'm going to pray for you in a minute or two from now, but before I do that, I just want you to take a moment and speak to God. He's your father. He's your groom. He's your God. Speak to him. If you've become distracted, if you've become busy, not just with relationships, but even in work and hobbies and your social life, whatever. If you've become distracted in this night, let's fix our eyes on Jesus again. Just speak to him as honestly and as openly as what you can. He's listening. Online and you need somebody to pray for you, we've got some people watching our online feed. Just type your name there. Just say, that's me. I feel like I'm distracted. I feel like I've taken my eyes off Christ. Just want to refocus again tonight. If you're here tonight and you're sitting next to your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your fiance or your husband or your wife, I want you to take their hands. Just take a hand. I want to pray for you. So I believe Jesus is so excited about our relationships. And if your relationship is one that honors Him, He's excited about yours. And He has promised that He will make things work together for your good. Because there's purpose in your relationship. That's what it says, Romans 8:28. You will make all things work together for our good because we've been called according to His purposes. If your relationship is one of purpose, He's your greatest encourager. He's the one that will be there for you to support you, guide you, love you, hold you, teach you, lead you. So Father, I pray for, firstly, for people that's still looking for a partner, that really wants to journey with somebody. I pray that a peace that goes beyond all human understanding will flood their hearts and their minds as they make their requests known to You tonight, as I believe they have done many a times before. And I want to put my faith with theirs and believe that the right person will find them, that they would see as they run after You, Lord Jesus, that there are some people running with them. Show them, connect them, supernaturally, I pray. But Lord, in this night, I want to pray specifically for relationships. Every person that's dating, Lord, pray that in this night, that they will know whether this relationship is one of purpose or one that's not. Give them the boldness and the courage to say in this evening, if it needs to be, this relationship is not giving God glory. I pray that You will give them the courage to pursue You, even if it means at cost of a relationship. I pray that no relationship will ever be counted higher than our relationship with You. But for every person that finds themselves sitting next to somebody that loves You as passionately as what they love You, and they can't wait to pursue the rest of their lives together, God, I pray that You will just, in this night, begin to fall, let things fall in place for them. Pray for people that's engaged in this process of finding one another, becoming one, sharing their lives more and more. Guide them, help them, show them. Take them through a process of cleansing. And God, I pray for every single married couple represented in this place online tonight. Beautiful Jesus, may there be a restoration, is what we've heard this morning, in every single marriage where it needs restoration. Jesus, I pray that there will be a passion that burns again amongst husbands and wives. Passion that burns, not just for one another. God, I pray that there will be a passion that burns for Jesus. And if there's been areas in people's lives, Lord, where there's been an absolute neglect of that, or just it feels like we're not even pursuing Christ together, I pray that in this night, that things will change supernaturally. That people in this night will just find that rhythm of grace with You. With one another, that they will with greater passion and greater pleasure and greater excitement than ever before pursue You. May Your kingdom be powerfully advanced through every single marriage represented here tonight, everybody watching online, and every person that will watch this message at a later stage. May our marriages give You glory. May our marriages show the world how incredibly beautiful Jesus is. May our marriages be ones of power. God, empower us to make a difference in the lives of people. Show us Your heart. Show us vision. Give us that vision. God, what is it that You want us to do as a couple that will advance Your kingdom in extraordinary ways? I pray that You will minister to people in this moment, Holy Spirit. Speak to people in their hearts. Give them ideas on how to sow their lives, sow their time, sow their money, sow their ministry into people. God, may our marriages make a difference. May our marriages be ones of mission in this world, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you agree with that prayer, come on, won't you say amen and amen and amen. Can we give Jesus some praise tonight? Can we do that? Before I hand over to Pastor Stefan, I want to ask you a favor. Everybody online and everybody in church, if there's somebody that you know that is going through a bit of a tough thing in their relationship or in their marriage, won't you share this message, even this morning's message, with them? Tag somebody into the stream right now. Share it on their timeline. Copy the link. Send it in their WhatsApp. Doesn't matter. Just tag somebody. Let somebody find hope again in God. Wherever they might find themselves in a difficult space, give them hope. Share the word of the Lord with them. Will you do that? Won't you stand? I'd love to pray for all of you. And then I'm going to close from there. If you're online, don't jump off now. We've got some awesome announcements we want to make. Father, thank you that I can pray for every single person that's here tonight, that's watching online. Lord, I pray as they leave here tonight, as I've prayed this afternoon, as I've said in the beginning, let them leave with passion. Let them leave with a sense of purpose. Let them leave here with that one or two golden nuggets, that treasures from your word, that thing that you've stirred in their hearts, that moment where their heart jumped for joy. Let them leave here with something that they can apply in their relationships, in their marriages. And Lord, I pray as they do, thank you that the power of your word will be visible in and through their lives. Thank you that as we respond to your word, that your word has the power to change us. God, I pray for supernatural change in every person's life, in every person's relationship. And if you agree, won't you say amen? And let's say amen again. Bless you. Thank you so much.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.